Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
So Psalms 23, continuing on in a series called A Healthy You, it seems like everywhere I turn, I'm finding statistics, reports, whether it's just in the secular world of people that are dealing with health issues, spiritual issues, or whether it's even that I look even within the church and I see families that are struggling, marriages that are struggling. We've just had some close friends that were just with their marriage issues. And so it's everywhere around us. And what we're maybe talking about is a terminology that's called spiritual formation. Okay? You might find that more in the classroom than you are in the church world. But spiritual formation really deals with how we address the inner side of our hearts and our lives. Because what takes place on the exterior usually comes from the heart. Isn't that what Jesus said? It's out of the heart the mouth speaks. And many times in the church world, we've been worried about the exterior. Okay? When I grew up in church and people came into the church, and the hippies were really coming in at that time. There was kind of a move of God amongst the hippies. And one of the first things they made them do is what? Cut the hair. Cut the hair, dress up nice. And they were worried about the exterior. And, a lot of them found God in the process, thankfully. When our missionaries went to Africa, people got saved. And what were they worried about? They were worried about some of the external things. And so you go to Africa, and of course they had to wear suit and tie over there, okay, which was totally not even part of their culture. But in fact, you go over to Africa today, and you'll go into these places where, maybe they don't even wear clothes in some places, okay? But they wear the suit and tie. They've kept those things that our missionaries brought over from our culture. And there's nothing wrong with those things, but it misses the fact of what God wants to do in our heart, okay? And that's what's most important, is what God wants to do in our heart. All right, so this morning we're going to talk about Jesus, our shepherd and our friend, taken from Psalms 23. And he just called us up to let us know he's here, all right? I think there's a notion that within the Christian faith that if I have religion in my life, things going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. And I think there's a lot of statistics and research that would say otherwise. Religion will not get you very far. It's going to take more of a relationship with God and walking with Him and being healthy on the inside, okay? And not just what the appearance. We can be so concerned about our appearance on the outside with other people and with church. And it's not really reflective of what God is doing on the inside. Okay? Am I making sense on that? All right. Like the Pharisees, we can put on a facade. We put on a smile. We look nice. But you know what? If you're hurting, you can come to church when you're hurting. You can come to church when you've yelled at the kids or kicked the dog. You can come to church. Okay? Now, you can come to church if you've had a great day, too, and you're coming, man, God just showed up, in your devotions and your time with Him and prayer time. Yeah. But church is a place where we need to come and fellowship together and be real and not just something that's on the outside. But Psalms 23, we all know Psalms 23, right? It's a fairly familiar passage of Scripture. Even we might not know the reference. We've heard it maybe at a funeral or someplace. We've heard Psalms 23 read, but it's a psalm of David. He would later become a king of Israel. But it provides us two metaphors of our relationship with God and the benefits that He bestows upon our lives as we embrace Him in those ways. So I want us to look at those this morning. Just read in your copy of God's Word this morning, Psalms 23. From the NIV says, "The Lord is my shepherd." If you want to say it with me, you can. "I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Father, we ask the blessing over your word this morning, and I pray that you just bring this beautiful psalm, bring it a little more alive to us today, and apply it, what David was saying, apply it to our everyday life. And we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. The first metaphor that David gives us is of what? Anybody want to take a stab at it? What's the first metaphor, picture of God that he gives us? The Lord is my shepherd. Shepherd is the first metaphor, the picture he gives us of our relationship with God. Now, David was a shepherd. He was a young shepherd. His family had sheep. And so the family tradition had been to be a shepherd. And so it got passed on from one son to the other. He was one of the younger sons. And so his brothers were off fighting battles and wars. But David was home with the sheep. And he took care of the sheep that were entrusted to him. And as he did that, he took his job very seriously. And as he did that, he saw, aha, you know what? As I take care of my sheep, I make sure that they are taken care of. God takes care of my life and shepherds my life and provides many good things. Now, there's several things we experience if Jesus is our shepherd. Now, let me go backwards here. The analogy of sheep kind of runs through all of Scripture, right? Here's one reference where we're called sheep. Isaiah 52 says, "We are all like sheep and we've gone astray." Okay? I don't know if we're like herding cats or whatever, but we've kind of all gone our own way. And it's because of that that God had to send his son to die on the cross for our sin, because we've all chosen a direction. We've disobeyed God, and God sent his son to the cross to die on the cross for our sins, because we've gone our own way. So there's the analogy there. Jesus went out and gave the parable of the lost sheep, the sheep that had wandered away, the lamb that had wandered away, and he went out and found that sheep. He left the 99 to find the one that was lost. And in that we see God's love for people, that he cares about the one that's lost. And so, and even pastors are compared, we're shepherds under the great shepherd taking care of the flock of God. So there's a lot of illustrations. Now, if you talk to a rancher, don't talk to Chuck, but if you talk to a rancher, he'll tell you that cattle, if they had their choice between raising cattle or sheep, they would say cattle. Okay, right, Gary? Gary's a rancher at heart. Why? Because cattle are tough. They're resilient. They can handle the hot and the cold. And one guy said, you know, they can be born and, you know, within just a few minutes or hours, they're able to be almost self-sufficient. You give them food and some sort of shelter, they're fine. They're dependable. They can defend themselves against wild animals. And so they're just kind of a low-maintenance animal compared to sheep, which need a lot more attention. Right? They're very susceptible to wild animals. They're prone to sickness and disease. Sheep have been described as being stupid. Okay? And they're high maintenance. Now, just think about that. That's the illustration that God calls we're all sheep. All right, not the best picture, but it's an accurate depiction of our need for God and his guidance in our life. How many have made a stupid decision from time to time? Okay? Okay, we all have. We've all been like sheep, okay, gone our own way. In the Old Testament context, the shepherd lived with his sheep 24/7. He just didn't put them in a pen. He was out there in the pasture, out there in the fields. He was with them during the day. He slept with them at night. There was a relationship that was built with his sheep. He knew them by name. He knew their tendencies. He knew all the characteristics about the sheep. And he provided them guidance, protection, and he was their physician. And so David understood what it meant for a good shepherd to look after sheep. And he said, in the same way, God looks after us. And because of that, David says, since the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And so he's going to describe some of the benefits. And so the first in your outline, in your bulletin, it says, if the Lord is our shepherd, we will experience a few different things. First of all, he says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. And those phrases are a picture of contentment, that God will lead us to places where we can nourish our heart and our soul. We'll be well fed, green pastures. And not only can we eat there, we get to take a nap. How many are in favor of naps? Aren't they great? Yes, I like naps. He makes us lie down. I like that word makes, because sometimes God has to say, you know what? You've been working too hard. You know, lay down. We talked about practicing the Sabbath, right? Okay. Sometimes he needs to make us lie down. There's been times where God has kind of brought my life to a standstill. And it's kind of like, okay, God, are you getting my attention? And so he makes us to lie down in green pastures. He provides for us. He leads us beside the quiet or still waters that are deep, that are cool, that are refreshing. He restores our soul. And see, when the Lord is our shepherd, we will experience holistic health. And by holistic, I mean body, soul, and mind. Look at that. The pastures refer to us being nourished and refreshed in sleep. The cool water is, again, refreshing for our body. And then he restores my soul. It's holistic. Body, soul, and mind. He provides holistic health in our lives if the Lord is our shepherd. We allow him to guide in our lives. We do that by reading God's word, by prayer, by walking with God. We experience him. And it does not mean that life will be easy. Okay? But it does mean that if we follow God's guidance in our lives, we will be refreshed and we'll be renewed as we walk with him. And I don't think God's ever promised that life would be easy, but I believe when we walk with God, two things. God will refresh us, renew us. Secondly, he'll provide meaning in the journey. Okay? Meaning and refreshing so that the journey is meaningful. It might not always be easy, but it's going to be meaningful. Okay? Secondly, he says, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We follow the guidance of the Good Shepherd. He's going to lead us down paths that are right, that are moral, that are free from the consequences of poor decisions and sin. He's going to lead us into holiness. That's the second point. Holiness. Now, holiness is a slippery thing. If holiness is our goal, okay, to be holy, and there's a great book out there called The Pursuit of Holiness. It's written by Bridges. It's a great book. But if our goal is specifically holiness in our own life, it can easily go to a place where we become self-righteous, okay? Where I'm pure and I'm holy, but it's more about that's the goal. It's not that I know God and draw close to God. But if the Lord is our shepherd, he's going to lead us into right paths. And as we get into God's word, and we read some of those this morning, Chuck read them, and it guides, God's word is that lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It guides us to make right choices and to live a holy and a moral life. Now, you can go on your own path, okay, and God does forgive sin, amen? But we still have to live with the consequences for our choices, okay? God forgives us of sin. You can go out and murder somebody and find God in prison, okay, and God will forgive you. But you're still going to have to serve out your sentence in the prison because you committed a crime. Okay, you have to live with the consequences of that choices. And God wants to lead us down a path that is free of those consequences. Now, reality TV, it really isn't real, I don't think. Because many times they show sometimes the pleasure of sin, but they don't show the consequences of sin. When I work out at Doan, and there's four TVs there, isn't there? Right? USA, ESPN, MTV, and CBS. So a lot of times they either plug into the USA or the CBS. But when I'm watching the CBS one, usually Jersey Shore is on, okay? Or there was another show on one day. And the other show, both of them, they show all this, oh, I can live the way I want to, but there's no consequences to the sin. Now, the one show that it was on, I was trying to watch CBS, I think the news, and this other show was on, and it really disturbed me because it was just going in and watching, filming firsthand a couple people's drug addiction. Showed them just shooting up the intravenous drugs and the guy snorting cocaine. I mean, he was doing a bunch of stuff, cocaine and a bunch of stuff, and just the effects. He'd go out party and just how it looped out his life and how he reacted to all that. And it was just very, very troubling to me. It's kind of like it just felt demonic to me. And I just thought, you know, how can they be showing all this? And I think they brought it around to the place where they got these people into a drug rehab program and followed them there. Our media today, they show the pleasure of sin, of making wrong choices, but they don't show the consequences that follow. And then all of a sudden, in real life, in our life, we make those choices. And it's like, oh, now my life is really messed up. And I have to live with those consequences and those choices. You know, we can make turns and directions in our life, but there's some things we cannot go back and change. Can we? Now, God can make beautiful things out of our messes. That is the mystery and the marvel of God. But God wants to, He wants to save us from those things. And He will if we're His shepherd. If we allow Him to shepherd us and to guide us, He'll lead us to places and paths that are right and that are moral and that are safe. Just as a shepherd would protect his sheep. Amen? Paths of righteousness. He gives a third thing. He says, and we refer a lot to this, that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know, valleys, it's a dark valley, David describes as a dark valley. And many times the valleys of life are kind of dark, aren't they? Okay? We use that term, I'm going through a valley, time of testing. But many times they are dark times. And there are times where we question the presence of God. You know, there's times where we're on the mountaintop, God's presence is there. It's kind of like it's just tangible. We see the face of God, if we can use that expression. God is right there. But there's other times to say, God, where did you go? Where are you at? I can't feel you. I can't sense you. Where is your presence? And God takes us through those dark times. But even then, He's promised that His presence goes with us. One author, Tony Stolfus, has written a book just on just people's journey in their walk with God. And he looks at examples in Scripture, Joseph and Moses. And he looks at more modern-day examples, Mother Teresa and his own life. And he sees this pattern that God takes us through three different valleys in our life. The first valley is the valley of dependence. You know, we accept Christ and things are just cruising along. God is just so real to us. There's excitement, there's joy. And then all of a sudden, boom, it hits us, the valley of dependence. And it can be different for every person. For Joseph, he had all these great dreams and visions. He was so excited. And he told them to his brothers. And man, just powerful, the dreams and plans that God had for Joseph. And then all of a sudden, what? The bottom fell out. Gets sold as a slave to Egypt. And he's a prisoner in a foreign land. That's a valley of dependence. And God took him through that valley. And He takes us through that valley of dependence so that we trust Him more. And trust Him completely. And He does that because He loves us. Well, then we come out of that one and things kind of level off from doing good. And then He takes us to the valley of wholeness. In the valley of wholeness, God begins to complete some of the things in our lives that maybe are missing, whether it's character or just dealing with the wholeness of our life, but character and things that need to be complete in our life. For Joseph, I think he had a pride issue, quite honestly. And as he spent time in prison, God humbled him. He was a gifted man. a man with promise, but God humbled him in that time and brought some humility into his life so that when God would eventually raise him up, he could be second in command and lead in such a way that would bring glory to God. Well, then the last one is the valley of identity. That's the third one that God typically takes people through, where they find that their identity is in God. It's not in other things. They're not trying to be somebody else, but they're content and they're comfortable with who they are. Their giftings, their gift mix, we cover that. But they're just, and they go, and it's the most successful and the most effective time of a person's life in the Christian walk, because they're just doing what God has called them to do. They're comfortable with it. They're not distracted by other things or other people, but they're doing what God has called them to do. Well, there's also another valley that David refers to, and that is the valley of death. See, all those valleys strike fear to us, into our hearts, and anxiety, because we are now not walking by sight, but we're walking by what? Faith. We're walking by faith. We're walking by faith. But you know what? It is in the valley that the promises of God become more than just words, but they could become truth. Right? We experience them firsthand. It's one thing to know the promises of God. It's another thing to experience God's presence, His love, His joy, His peace and strength in a dark and difficult time. Now, David says, even in that dark valley, what comforts me? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, what was a rod used for? Huh? Yeah, it was used for protection. It was used to guide, correct. Okay, should we practice? Okay, it's used to correct. That's what the crook was for. They put it around their neck and bring them over. Correct, guide, protect. It was for the shepherd as well as he walked. But it was one of the tools. But even in the dark valley, the sheep maybe couldn't see him, but they could sense his presence of the rod. They knew that he was near. And sometimes in our lives, to me, the rod and the staff symbolize God's promises. That even though we can't see His face, we have His promises that are there. And they remind us that God is near. Even though I don't feel the goosebumps, even though I don't, you know, see the sunlight breaking through the ceiling in my room, God is there. He's there. Listen to some of these promises. 1 John 4:18. He says, but perfect love drives out all fear. John's talking about the love of God, and that when God is in our life, perfect love drives out all fear. And I think of a father holding a child that's been frightened. And as the father embraces that child, all fear leaves, is gone. It dissipates because they're in the embrace of the Father. Perfect love drives out all fear. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you. If I have my thoughts fixed on God, He's going to keep me in perfect peace. Philippians 4:6-7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Wow, that's good. That's a new thought. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Psalms 91, one of my favorites, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. I think of Joshua as he's ready to enter the promised land. He was mentored under Moses. Now Moses is dead. He's gone. And now Joshua is given the task of leading the people into the promised land. And God says to him several different times to be strong and courageous. And He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Does it sometimes feel like God has left us? Be honest. Yeah, it does. There's times when I say, God, where are you at? He's there. But see, it's in the valley that we find God's promises to be real. And so The third principle is there that we experience His promises. We just don't know them, but we experience them. You know, the most productive and fruitful times of our lives will be in the valley. Because that is where we grow, that is where we mature, that is where beautiful things come out of our lives. You look at example after example in Scripture, and you look at even modern day examples, it'll be in the valley that growth appears. In the valley, in the difficult times. They say, God, no, it should be in the easy times. It's not. It's going to be in the valleys that God brings beautiful things out of your life. You experience His promises. David gives a second metaphor, and that is of a friend. Not only is the Lord our shepherd, but now He's also our friend. And so he brings out a couple other principles that I want to just touch upon briefly here. He says, as a friend, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. And so you have this table that is being set, the food is there, and there's people there that you don't like. But God is there, and He makes sure you have the best seat in the house. You have the biggest steak that is there, and He's taking good care of you. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And David knew what that was like. As king, there was times that people worshipped him, and there was times that people hated him. He knew what that was like. There was always critics that were there. But God, David says, you know what? Even in the presence of my enemies, you prepare a table, a feast before me. And so in there we experience God's favor. As His friend, we experience His favor. He says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Now we anoint people with oil because Scripture calls us to do that when we're praying for those that have health, for the sick, to anoint with oil. But in this context, it was it symbolized God's blessing and His presence upon their lives, His favor again. And so the second one there under friend is favor and then blessing. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. When I went to the fridge to get water this morning, it overflowed, went over the top. You know, and you go to the restaurant, to the fast food place, or to the coffee shop, and sometimes they fill it up, what, 3/4, 2/3? It's kind of like you open it up, and they put the cover on there so you can't see it, and it's kind of like, you know, I paid $4 or $5 for this thing. And at least fill it up. And then other places, they fill it so full that, you know, if you take the cover off, you have a mess. But usually that symbolizes that if, you know, you fill your cup to overflowing, it means that they like you, right? They're giving you all that you can have. Your cup overflows. And David says, you know what? When God is my friend and I have friendship with God, my cup overflows. I have more than enough. God's blessings are rich, they're new, they're fresh each and every day. My cup overflows. Favor, blessing. He says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. When God is our friend, we experience His mercy. His mercy. That comes, surely goodness and love. I believe chesed is one of the Hebrew words there. And chesed is just that strong covenant love that God bestows upon us. And that regardless of whether we've been good that week or we've been bad this week, God loves you. Did you know that? God loves you. It's unconditional love. It's covenant love. It says, I've made a commitment to you to love you. And David says, you know what? And David had his share of mistakes, didn't he? Some big ones. But he says, you know what, God, your goodness and your love, they follow me all the days of my life. And so he knew of God's mercy is the third one there. He knew of God's mercy. Grace, I don't know if you can distinguish between grace and mercy. Grace is what we get what we don't deserve. Mercy has sometimes been described as we don't get what we do deserve. All right? Does that make sense? How many are thankful for God's mercy that we don't get what we do deserve? Instead, He gives us His grace and His goodness, His kindness. The final one, I'm going to have the musicians come, if you could come quietly. The final one is David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This speaks of fellowship. It speaks of fellowship. That I can be a guest and a friend in the presence of God. That God can have, I can have fellowship with Him. And I don't know if you've ever been a guest of a famous person or somebody important. But that's what God is saying, is that we have an invitation to be His guest. And we can not only just hang out there for an hour or two and have a meal, but God says that we can go and hang out 24/7, permanently. I can be a guest in God's house, in His presence. Isn't that nice? Isn't that neat? See, when God is your friend, you have access to the very presence of God. And you can have fellowship with God. And He doesn't get tired of you. He's not going to kick you out. But He says, come in and have fellowship with me. Isn't that what we heard last Sunday? Come and have fellowship with me. Be near to me. If the Lord is our shepherd, we'll experience renewal and wholeness and His promises. If the Lord is our friend, we'll experience His favor, His blessing, His mercy, and fellowship. You know, I don't think God, He cannot really do much in our lives as our shepherd, as our friend, until we come to that simple truth that I need Him now. Whether I'm beginning on that journey with Him, or I've walked maybe quite a while. But it's dependent upon us coming before Him and saying, God, I need You to work in our hearts and our minds. I think some of you can identify with some of the lyrics. Maybe you see some of your life in those words. But God is here. He is present as our shepherd, as our friend, to work in our lives, just in our day-to-day life. Would you stand this morning? Some of you can relate to the valleys. There's a good chance that a lot of you are in one of those valleys right now. The valley of dependence, of fullness, of identity. But God wants to be with us and present with us. And I believe we've come to the right place this morning, just to seek His face. I'm going to ask you to do something we did a few Sundays ago. Would you just offer your life to God this morning? See, God can provide all those things that we've talked about, that David talked about. But they are not possible unless we say, God, come and be my shepherd. And come and be my friend. Would you just reaffirm that, whether you've been walking with God a long time, maybe this morning's the first time. You just reaffirm that to Him, saying, dear God, come into my heart and into my life. Be the shepherd that leads me beside the still waters and restores my soul. Be the shepherd that leads me on right paths. Takes me safely through the valleys of life. Stronger, better. And Lord, be the friend that shows me favor in Your blessing. And the unconditional love that You'll never let me go. In Jesus' name we pray. God is present. And I know that some of you are carrying some burdens this morning. And I hope that these verses of Scripture just come alive in your day-to-day walk. It's there that the true beauty comes from. They're going to help us in a chorus here that we want to close with. And that speaks of what we just talked about.